Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The theme for our gospel lesson today is found in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And St. John says this by the Holy Ghost: "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." So there you see what's going on in our gospel lesson for today. Jesus is doing the work that he was sent by his Father into the world to do, to destroy the works of the devil. Now, the first thing that we need to consider for ourselves and for our comfort is this: demonic possession is an extreme form of the tyranny that Satan holds over every person who remains in unbelief and is dead in their sins. So when Jesus comes and as part of his public ministry, he does miracles, but he also casts out devils, this casting out of devils is a sign of his victory over the devil on behalf of all sinners who are under his tyrannical dominion. And we are all this by birth. Remember that Satan tempted Eve and indirectly Adam into sin. And God, when he had confronted them with their sinfulness and caused them to acknowledge it, God gave them a promise that the seed of a woman would come and he would defeat and conquer Satan on behalf of fallen humankind. He says that the seed of Satan would crush his heel, but that he would crush the serpent's head. And this, my friends, is what Jesus is doing here. A demonic spirit had inhabited this man and rendered him incapable of speech. Jesus came and cast out the devil, and this man who was unable to speak is suddenly, wonderfully able to speak and to praise God and to give testimony of the goodness of God to sinners in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, when this happened, it says that the people marveled at this. In Matthew's gospel, it says, this must be the Christ. Somebody who can do this kind of stuff must be the Christ. Here, Luke says, they marveled. But some said, he's in league with the devil himself. That's why he can do all these things. The devil gives him his power to do it. And this is where we always have to be careful, because we who confess Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, the stronger one who defeats the tyrant, the strong man, we confess him, but we live in a world of people who are altogether too ready to say evil things about the Lord of glory who came into the world to save us. And we have to watch ourselves that we are not influenced by the foolishness, the inconsistency of the world as it always tries to set Jesus aside, to push Jesus' church into a corner. You people can do what you feel you must do as long as you do it quietly and out of sight. And so, there were some in the crowds who said, the only reason he does miracles and casts out devils, he's made a compact with Beelzebub, and that's why he does it. Now, Jesus, very patiently, he knows their thoughts, and he says something that we need to take into account. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. We are going through that as a nation today. We are a nation divided against itself. And as Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Therefore, we must pray. We must pray that God will bring us together in Christ. So he says, a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? So he says to these people who are so sure of themselves, they are so sure that they found the one solid reason why I don't have to believe in Jesus. You ever talk to people who are unbelievers? And you ask him, you know, what is it that causes you to be an unbeliever? And then they tell you the big secret about why they have been liberated from Jesus and the church. And 99% of the time, the thing that they say is nothing but stupidity and ignorance. Stupidity and ignorance. They reject what they don't even understand. And yet they think they've got the key to the universe. So here Jesus says, you people say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. Your position is foolish. It is foolish. And then he says, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. You're very selective and inconsistent, Jesus says. You know, you say that I'm doing it by Beelzebub, but your own followers, they also cast out devils. Who are they doing it by? Right? They will rise up on judgment day and condemn you for your foolish inconsistency. And so, he says, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. And there is that wonderful statement that is so comforting to us as we read this passage. The fact that Jesus casts out devils by the finger of God, that is, by the working of the Lord God, is proof that God's kingdom of grace has come to us, and that it has come and brought with it the forgiveness of all of our sins, liberation from sin, death, and the power of the devil, and the utter assurance of everlasting life in the kingdom of glory. This is all pictured for us with Jesus casting out a devil and then proclaiming the truth of what it means. The kingdom of God is come upon you. And that is wonderful news. Forgiveness, life, salvation, eternal life, a ability to remain standing on the day of judgment. It is all yours because the kingdom of God has come in the person and work of Christ our Savior. Then Jesus goes on to describe his mission in this world. Jesus did not come into the world to be a teacher of information, all right? He did that, but that's not the real purpose for which he came into the world. He came to preach the good news to the poor, but he came for more than that, right? He also didn't come into the world to be a miracle worker. Jesus did many miracles, and they are all wonderful, and they are all described clearly for us in the written word of God, the Bible. But Jesus didn't come into the world to heal everybody of every disease while he lived among us on earth. The miracles that he did were signs of something else. All right, so we have his teachings, which are very important. We have his signs, his miracles, which are very important. But the thing that he came into the world chiefly to do is described in verses 21 and 22. He says, "When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace." He's describing Satan, right? And he said Satan is like a tyrant. He's like one of those Colombian drug lords who has a huge estate and all those guys walking around with guns making sure that nobody gets to the great drug lord. You know, all those movies, all those action adventure movies from back in the 1980s. So there we see a picture of the devil. He is a strong man, a tyrant. He is armed and he keeps his palace. He keeps his stuff secure. Then Jesus describes himself. "But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divides his spoils." Jesus describes himself as stronger than the devil and comes upon the devil. Jesus is on the offense. He is on the offense. He has come to wage war on our behalf against the serpent, against the devil. He comes upon him. He overcomes him. All right, the one who held us in bondage, the one who kept us under lock and key, has been overcome by Jesus Christ, and he takes from him all his armor wherein he trusted. He disarms the devil. How does he do that in your life? Well, listen to this. The devil thinks he's got you when he tempts you. And the devil thinks he's got you when he accuses you of sin. But one little word shall fell him. And you know what that word is? Your sins are forgiven. With the word of forgiveness of sins, all of the devil's work has been brought to nothing. Sure, you may have sinned, but you have forgiveness in Christ. You may have been tempted, but you have forgiveness in Christ. The devil may accuse you and work on your guilty feelings, but you have a gracious God who forgives your sins for Christ's sake. So he overcomes him and he divides the spoils. That is, your stuff is now my stuff. That's what it means when he says earlier, the kingdom of God is come upon you. You see, the devil wanted to prevent the coming of the kingdom of God, but he was unable to do so. He did everything in his power to negate Jesus, to work against Jesus, even worked in the hearts of people to plot and bring about his death. But his death only succeeded in atoning for the sins of the world, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. And Satan, my friends, is like a roaring lion that seeks whom he may devour, but he is a defeated foe. He is a defeated foe, and we who are in Christ, we are victors through faith in the grace of God in Christ. So he says, as the stronger one, he says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatters. So Jesus says here, there's no fence sitting in this situation. You are either on my side or you are on the devil's side. Now the devil is a beaten foe, and if you remain in his side, you will be defeated and beaten. But if you are on my side, you are on the side of victory, grace, mercy, and salvation. There's no fence sitting. There's a lot of people today, especially because we live in such a secularized modern culture, and people find it hard to hold on to the truth of the Word of God. Why? Because nobody that they know believes it anymore. You know, back when our grandparents were still around, and you know, they lived in society, sure, there was plenty of unbelief and sinfulness in society. There always has been, and there always will be in this world. But your parents and your grandparents had the blessing of at least encountering some people on occasion who believed as they believed and who had the same confidence in the Lord Jesus and in the Word of God. And in those days, our culture, the people who run things, still paid lip service to the church and the Bible. But we live in an entirely different world. We live in a thoroughly secularized world where all you've got to do is get in a conversation with somebody and you find out that more often than not, you are talking to a rank unbeliever and possibly even a stern enemy of the cross of Christ. And so we need to be reminded here as Christian believers, we are either with Jesus or we are against him. We either gather with him through the preaching of the gospel and the support of the preaching of the gospel, or we are scattering with the devil. All right? Then Jesus goes on and he says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return to my house whence I came out. So he says, when someone is delivered from a demonic tyranny and oppression, that demonic spirit cannot find any rest out there in the dry places of the world. And the devil always wants to come back in and establish a foothold in the heart of those who have been cleansed of their sins and who have been established in the grace of God. Therefore, it is a sad, sad thing when a person who has been baptized, they have been instructed in the faith, they have made confession of their faith publicly at their confirmation, and they have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the world to come, especially when they gather at the Lord's table to receive forgiveness, life, and salvation with the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. When these people fall away, they fall under the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and they fall away because the devil is always trying to get back in. He's always trying to get back in. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. This is what happens in the life of a backslider. A backslider is like a person who has redecorated his house and made it really nice for the devil to come in and take over again. That's what backsliding is all about. That's what departing from God's word is. It's like you're going through a house renovation thing because you can't wait for the devil to come back in and take up residence again. And he says, when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. We need to take caution here and see to it that we ever remain with Jesus, enjoying the blessings of the kingdom of Christ, and not allow the devil to get a toehold back into our lives so that we end up falling away from the faith. Because the person described in this parable goes from bad to worse to eternal damnation. And we need to bear that in mind. Now, at this point, a woman in the crowd, she just can't hold back anymore. She is loving her some Jesus. And what he says has so delighted her heart that she lifts up her voice and she cries out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed are the breasts which you have sucked." A little TMI there, a little too much information. But what she is saying is, what a blessing you must have been to your mother. You know, she's saying a nice thing, you know. She doesn't mean anything wrong by it. She is just so knocked out by the power, the authority, and the graciousness of Jesus' words that she has to say something wonderful to him. And so she says this wonderful thing. What a wonderful blessing you were to your mother. She is blessed to have had you and to have brought you up. Now Jesus, he responds to her by not disagreeing with her. He's not saying that his mother was not blessed. But he says, yea, rather. In other words, he's saying, even more important than that, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You see, he's saying, who are the really blessed persons? The really blessed persons are not the ones who have the familial and social connections to things. You know, it's not the people, It's not the people whose mother was a real serious Christian and went to church. You hear people, unbelievers, talk like this. Oh, my mother was a godly woman, and she went to church every service that they had, and she wore out her Bible with reading. Now, that's a wonderful thing and a great testimony. But you're not blessed if you don't share the same faith with her. What is the thing that made such a godly woman blessed? Is that she heard the word of God and kept it. You see, through the word of God, Jesus brings us deliverance, salvation, forgiveness, and redemption. Through the word of God, Jesus conquers the devil on our behalf. Through the word of God, he enables us to gather with him rather than scatter with the devil. And through the word of God, he keeps us so that we ever remain firm in the faith of Jesus and never let the devil get his toe back in the door. And so today, we rejoice. Number one, the kingdom of God has come upon us in Christ Jesus. Number two, mission accomplished. When Jesus was about to die on the cross, he said, "It is finished. The work of redemption is accomplished and done." And third, true blessedness is given to us as we hear and keep the word of God, right? It is God's word, it is true, it is reliable, and it is a rock upon which we can stand. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.